for many of us. Many of us that grew up loving Olivia Newton-John, August 9 will be a day where we remember where we were when we heard the sad, sad news that Olivia Newton-John had passed away. And I thought that immediately we'd like to talk to Glenn A. Baker because of some of the wonderful memories of Olivia Newton-John, and I'm pleased to say that he joins me on the phone this afternoon. Thank you for your time, Glenn.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be with you, mate.
It's a sad day, mate, isn't it? I mean, we've lost Archie, we've lost Judith, and we've lost Olivia in a week.
It has been a pretty remarkable and saddening sequence of events. But I think that particularly with Judith and Olivia, they were so much a part of people's lives at a very pivotal time in music, and with ethereal, far-reaching voices, strong and powerful, and sweet and beguiling voices that seem to somehow linger in people's minds and hearts for a very, very long, long time. I know that Judith's passing affected women particularly strongly, and I get a feeling that this may be the case with Olivia. I think that she's seen as being a bit of a role model. But the thing that needs to be said about Olivia is you cannot remain sort of active in music for 5 decades without having a real strong force field about your talent and your personality. I mean, she was really remarkable. I mean, it was a real fool who wrote her off as being some sort of white bread, girl next door, insignificant figure. She was anything but. I mean, she had a wonderful instinct for the music that would take her forward and the style she wanted to participate. And later in her career, I mean, she was able to get up on stage and it was like, with John Farnham and Anthony Warlow. And I remember I did one interview this morning and somebody played her singing a song written by my old friend Tim Rice, Don't Cry For Me, Argentina. And I just marveled at how strong her voice was and how good her voice was. And I think that through Greece particularly and her duets with Travolta and that wonderful, the whole Chain Lightning Greece mega mix approach that actually endured for well beyond that. I mean, she left a mark that is going to still be talked about for a very long time. And it's been a bit of a double or a triple punch with the people who have gone in basically 1 week. And it's pretty shocking stuff. But there's no question about it.
Glenn, I said I would play some music from Olivia Newton-John this afternoon that we may not have heard before. And one of the songs I played just prior to coming to speak with you was a song she wrote with Keith Urban in 2002, yes. Sunburned Country. Great song. It just shows what a fantastic voice Olivia Newton-John had.
Very much so. And she and Keith were thrown together in a castle owned by Miles Copeland, the former manager of the Police, in a songwriting workshop. And they found they'd both been reading the same book, Sunburnt Country. And so they wrote that song and they didn't get a chance to finish it. So when the Olivia Newton-John tour passed through Nashville, where Keith lives these days with Nicole, they actually got together and finished the song there. And so, it's a wonderful song and it's a really powerful. But there are a few things. I mean, courageous to think that she wrote with Melinda Schneider. I mean, or she worked on with Melinda Schneider was also pretty wonderful as well. And look, I have a real. I love Xanadu. Actually, I think that Xanadu is one of the most appealing of all her film era songs, and also Newborn Babe, which she recorded when she was in England, written by my dear friend, good Brisbane boy, Glenn Cartier. And he wrote it about the birth of his child. I mean, and it's Beth, and that's one of my favorites. So we can all pick songs that we really, really love. And but good luck with you doing it because I'm sure you'll find some really good stuff.
Her launching pad, really, would you suggest that the launching pad was when she won the talent contest on the Johnny O'Keefe Sing 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 show and the prize was a trip to the UK?
Yeah, but she didn't want to actually take it at the time. Remember, she was... Excuse me, my voice is being a bit strained at the moment. Yes, she did win that competition and she did go to the UK and oddly enough, she would later be inducted into the ARIA Hall of Fame by the Australian Record Industry Association. But she didn't actually make any records in Australia. She didn't record here. She appeared in a film, Funny Things Happen Down Under. And there's a wonderful thing that you can look up on YouTube. It's a great thing. And she's 17 years old and she's singing Christmas Time Down Under. And that's the only thing she left us with, apart from a lot of television appearances. In Australia, it would not be until she did her Gaia album many years later with Murray Burns of NXS, that where she wrote every and every song. And excuse me.
I think Glenn, a lot while you clear your throat, a lot of us don't. A lot of people would not realise that Olivia Newton-John was a great songwriter as well. We know her as a great singer of songs, but she did write many songs.
Well, I would direct anybody to the Gaia album, which was her, you know, her return to Australia, you might say, and turn to Australia to finally make a record in Australia. And they're beautiful songs. And yes, she was a surprisingly good writer. But it showed many sides of her career. I mean, she was a fine singer. She developed into a very good songwriter. But also she had an innate ability to understand whether she should be singing country music, or whether she should be singing pop or disco, or whether she should be doing theatre songs. I mean, or she should be doing those duets with Travolta. I mean, you know, everything about what she did was cleverly, you know, sort of like orchestrated, you might say, but in her own sweet way.
And over and above that, she will be remembered for the wonderful charity work she did and the Cancer and Wellness Centre built in her name as a direct result of her fame and the position that she was in. She was able to call on celebrities and raise money and be able to leave this treasured, I suppose, memory of Olivia Newton-John in Melbourne, the Olivia Newton-John Wellness Centre.
Yeah, indeed. But, yes, she walked pretty much the full length of the Great Wall of China. And other celebrities joined her, often for short bursts and that, but she did the whole of it on her own, over 200 kilometres. And she raised, at the time, a large amount of money, $2 million for cancer research. And she that was her way of handling when she was diagnosed with breast cancer. That was her way of handling it, was to go out and do some work for others and to actually to focus the world's attention on this issue. And there's some gorgeous footage of her just simply walking around the streets. I think she's in Manly, and there were just people. She was just this charmer. She just spoke to people who were just amazed as she was there, but they were so glad to have her there. Because let's not forget, she was a megastar after Greece. I mean, she was so hugely popular. And I mean, I've met her a number of times, and you never got that feeling from her. She never gave you the feeling that she was a big star. She was this, she could be light and bright and charming and pleasant and all those things. And it was, you know, not many people can do that. Not many people can actually, you know, to maintain that sort of, you know, that presence in their personality. It was quite remarkable. I've written a piece, and it's on the Sydney Morning Herald, saying that part of the reason why she was so successful is that she stuck to Australians. And she had them as writers and producers and as friends and mentors all the way through her career. I mean, her manager at the sort of, you know, for many parts of her career. I mean, well, first it was Peter Gormley in England, who was an Australian, and then it was Roger Davies in America, who was an Australian, and And that was, I think she trusted being around Australians.
She did. She trusted being Australian. She trusted being around Australians. And I've got to let you go because I've got to go to the news. It's always a delight and a pleasure to talk to you, Glenn O'Baker. Thank you for spending some time with us and remembering Olivia Newton-John this afternoon.
And thank you for allowing me to do so. Vale, Olivia.
Vale, Olivia.